Blog Talk Radio.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment. That I am, and find my heart on the altar again. Set me on fire.
Yeah.
Set me on fire.
Yeah. Set us on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Set us on fire, Father. Set us on fire. Revive us and renew us. Re-strengthen us, Lord. Oh, God, we need you today. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to Daily Fire. 15 minutes of hot manna for your soul, live on Blog Talk Radio, taking you from the status quo of everyday life to glory, to glory, to glory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern with a new topic, live prayer, altar call, and then assigning your task for today. Daily Fire is sponsored by ChurchGirlDresses.com, the place where good girls shop. From church wear to casual wear to evening wear, we got you covered with sizes up to XXL and 26 and 28 wide. Our Welcome to Spring sale is going on right now, so make sure you visit, enter the code CHURCHGIRL to receive 10% off. That's www.churchgirldresses.com. Our topic for today's Daily Fire is learn to live a rainmaker life. Learn to live a rainmaker life. And our scripture comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18. While you're getting those Bibles ready, let me remind you of how to tune in to Daily Fire with me. Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern, you can call in live with me by dialing 323-870-4180. That's 323-870-4180. And I welcome everyone who's called in with me right now. But if you cannot call in at 7, you can hear the recording anytime after 8 a.m. Eastern on my ministry website, FeelTheFire.com. That's FeelTheFire.com. FeelTheFire.com. Or even better, follow the podcast by texting the letters DF for Daily Fire to phone number 33222. That way, the recording will be texted straight to you at 8 a.m. Eastern, and you can listen to it at any time throughout the day, bless someone else's soul by forwarding that text message, and even go back to it days later just to re-encourage yourself on that same topic. Again, text the letters DF to phone number 33222, and you will receive a confirmation text, which even includes today's teaching. All of this information, if you are unable to write it down, is available on my ministry website, FeelTheFire.com. FeelTheFire.com. By now, you should have those Bibles ready. I'm in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, reading from the KJV. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Let me read it again. Listen now. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Praise the Lord for the reading of his word. What is our topic for today's Daily Fire? Say it aloud with me right now. Learn to live a rainmaker lifestyle. When we hear the term rainmaker, It means someone who has the ability to generate financial success. You know, they have the Midas touch. Every business that they open, at some point, it begins to flourish, or even if it doesn't flourish, they know how to take the lessons learned from that failure and turn it into a success later with that business or a new business. They seek out opportunities to generate wealth. They're always looking to see how they can multiply their income, and then they're successful at it. They're rain makers. They make it rain. They make money fall. Well, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verse 18, which I've just read unto you, God lets us know that he's given us the power to create wealth. Accordingly, it is not his will for us to be broke, busted, and disgusted, always testifying or always asking for help because we need help because our light bills are about to be, our lights are about to be cut off. Our water's about to be cut off. You know, we can never go on a vacation, a staycation. We never have any money to give to anyone else. We're always in need, always asking for money from the benevolent fund. This is not how God desires that we live. In Ephesians 3:20, the Bible teaches us that God said he will do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Listen to those three words, exceeding. Then on top of exceeding abundantly, then on top of exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. 1 Corinthians 2:9, eyes haven't seen, our ears haven't heard, and neither had it even entered into our hearts, the things that God has prepared for those that love us. The Bible consistently lets us know it is God's will for us to prosper. He tells us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these other things shall be added unto us. He teaches us in Malachi that we're to bring the tithe into the storehouse, and in doing so, see if he won't open the windows of heaven and pour out such blessing that we don't even have room enough to receive it. He teaches us in Deuteronomy that we are above only and not beneath, the head and not the tail. Don't you understand? Glory. He desires for us to live financially successful. Why? Well, he just told us in Deuteronomy 8:18, so that we're able to effectuate, or in other words, bring into existence his covenant that he's already swore to with our forefathers. And in bringing into existence his covenant, we are therefore able to expand his kingdom. You see, if you don't have nothing, you can't give nothing. Oh, this is good teaching. I'm trying to show you how to learn to be a rainmaker and how to live it, how to create generational wealth for your children and grandchildren, and if you already have generational wealth, how to sustain it and how to grow it. You may ask, what do you know about that, Evangelist Rodney? Oh, I can tell you a lot of things about that. You see, I'm an attorney now and registered nurse, but I wasn't always an attorney and registered nurse. And even in coming into those professions, I had times of being high and times of being low, times of being successful and times of failure. I had to take the lessons learned and learn how to parlay that into success because, you see, I'm a rainmaker. My mother raised 5 children. My mother is an entrepreneur and even with only an associate's degree now owns well over, I think, about 10 properties that she rents out in addition to her own 2-story home. A rainmaker, and she raised all of her children to be entrepreneurs. So my older sister's retired military and working another civil service job and retired. And then my sister underneath me is a teacher, just obtained her master's, getting ready to be a principal. My brother works. My youngest sister, they're in nursing, she's in nursing school. But guess what? We all look for ways to see how we can open businesses as well, or how we can consult or do something else. It's in our DNA, not only naturally, but from the Father. And so I'm telling you that you want to get to a point where you can be successful to help expand God's kingdom and to help expand the legacy of those you love. You see, as I plan, you know, and for 2 or 3 years now, you've been hearing me say every year that I'm working on being a multimillionaire. It's something I never change. well, this year I will make it to at least a millionaire. It's no doubt. But for the last 2 years, you've been hearing me saying that. You've been hearing me tell you how I've been planning it and strategizing it. Rainmaker lifestyle includes not giving up. But it also includes planning. You see, some of you will only walk around, name it, and claim it. That's not enough, because God said faith without works is dead. You got to be able to know how to parlay your failures into success and how to exponentiate the success you have. Let me just tell you this right quickly. We don't have but 15 minutes. I hope you're loving this teaching, because I am breaking some financial curses over some people right now. Let me tell you this. When I became a registered nurse, you know, and I began to work, and I was doing well, I became a director of nursing way in my 20s, only in my 20s, I should say. I was supervising people who had been nurses as long as I'd been on the earth. And so I was always doing well. Then I went to my own consulting business part-time and was able to grow that into full-time consulting, and I had clients all over the state of Florida. Then my brother ended up being incarcerated, and that's what led me to go to law school to become an attorney. Well, a lot of times during that time, I was struggling. I'm just telling you. I mean, you're trying to go to law school, and I lived in Tampa. Law school was in Orlando 3 days a week. I'm driving to law school. Then, you know, finally I met two other students from my area. We were able to carpool. But the days you weren't in law school, you have to be studying. Law school is all-consuming, plus still trying to work. I'm telling you, it was a lot. There were so many times within that my mother helped me. And even when I left the military to go to Tuskegee and the Army was paying my way through nursing school, there were so many times when in that my mother helped me, paid off my car. There were many, my first car. There were many times throughout me getting to where I am now that my siblings helped me. My cousins, whom I call my big brothers, who are all retired military, three guys, they helped me, my first cousins. And so, you know, here I am now. I'm at this point, but I was not always there. And so I had to begin to ask myself, why do I keep recycling through the highs and the lows? Why are there times that I'm doing very well and times that I'm not? Especially when you're in a service industry, like owning your own business as a consultant or a law office, you got to begin to say, how do I consistently obtain clients and get retained? How do I brand myself? You know, it took me so many trials and errors. So I knew God gave me the capability to get wealth. I knew he wanted me to have it so I could expand this kingdom and appreciate those whom I love, and, you know, including my son. I can't leave him out because he's like my rock. He's grown now, but he's more intelligent than I am. And, I mean, he can break me down. He's only 22. Never disrespectful. He's just super intelligent. And so they begin to make me look at things differently. So I'm just going to give you a few things. We don't have but 15 minutes. I hope this is very good teaching for you, and I'm actually going to continue it Monday if the Lord says the same, okay? Let me just talk to you about a few things. Number one, you must learn where your passions are, because where your passions are, that is where your talents are, and that's where you're committed. And where you're committed, that's where you're going to put forth your time. Now, your talents may not always be in alignment with the job you have, because maybe you're having to work a particular job because it gives you a particular salary. Even though you hate going to work every day, this is what you must do to sustain yourself, and that's understandable. But for me, I can tell you, I always talked a lot. When I was a kid, my mouth used to get me in trouble all the time. Well, you know, it wouldn't make sense for me to have determined, for example, that, okay, I want to go over here and just be a librarian, because nobody wants to talk to the librarian. So it only makes sense that at some point I was either going to be a teacher, which I have taught on the college level as an adjunct professor, or an attorney. Do you see what I mean? And I love to debate, so it only makes sense for me to get into that. Hence, the nursing, I took that scholarship from the Army because my cousin was a nurse recruiter for the Army, and I wanted to be commissioned, and that becoming a nurse was a guaranteed way that they would commission you and send you to active duty versus reserve at that time. And so my cousin helped walk me through the process. But nursing wasn't my first love. If you had asked me what I wanted to be growing up, or even when I went into the Army, nursing never would have been on my list. See, you got to learn where your passions are. Now, the great thing for me is that the entrepreneur in me was eventually able to take what I had with nursing, the clinical skills and the management and everything, and let me parlay that into opening a full-time consulting business. But had I not known who I was, my own passions and talents, I wouldn't have known that there was so much more to me and that I could have done even better than what I was doing with the nursing. You know, number two, you have to find an effective mentor. There are a lot of people telling you they're life coaches, but they don't know what they're doing. They're not worth their salt. And some of you are just online, on Facebook, paying for these life coaching things. And the people are telling you how they said, let me tell you how I made $30,000 in 1 month. You want me to tell you how they made it? By signing up people like you, people who are gullible. I hate to say it, but I'm trying to help you learn how to live a rainmaker lifestyle. All you saw was their picture on Facebook telling you, let me teach you how I made $30,000 and sign up for my free course, which, of course, is not really free, right? You got to pay for the materials, or it's only $25. And underneath there, they paid Facebook to share it, right? Because, you know, I have a law office, so I know how how advertising works with Facebook, and you'll see the word sponsored. And so they've paid a certain amount, and when you're paying Facebook to advertise, you get to pick your demographics. You can choose age groups, men, women, the area that you want it to go through to geographically, and you can put in your own keywords. So you put in all of this and you market it, and you see it has 6,000 people on it and 1,000 shares, and so you take that to mean, oh, it's valid. But the people are marketing to people like you whom they know are just ready to pay somebody to show them something, as opposed to the commitment and sacrifice it takes to find an effective mentor. We got to go. I know this is good. So let me just give you three or four more things, and I'm going to elaborate next week, and I hope you show up to next week's teaching with a pen and paper ready. Number three, you got to be a consistent tiger. I know some of you are saying you should have said that first. No, because everyone who listens on this is not saved. So I have to meet people where they are to get you to the point. You have to be a consistent tither. Give me a few more minutes, okay? I'm going to share this with you because I want to be transparent with you. You know, I've been saved for over 20 years. I was not always a consistent tither. I would have my highs and lows. But there came a time when I just really committed that I'm going to serve God. And if I'm going to serve God, I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. And so all God asks for is 10 cents of every dollar you make. He doesn't ask for 50 cents. He doesn't ask for 75 cents. He asks for a dime out of every dollar. If you make $100, God only asks you for $10 tithe. If you made $1,000, he only asks for $100. And I know some of you may say only ask, but let me share this testimony with you, and then we're going to go into prayer, okay? I'm a consistent tither. And so I'm also a consistent offering giver, and you need to give offering. You need to tithe and give offering. Tithe is mandatory. Offering is free will. So whereas God demands 10% of your tithe, whatever you give in offering is up to you. Our church asks for $30. If you can give $30, you can. If you can't, you know, you try to get as close to it as you can, right? So last year, God told me to start giving $100 per Sunday in offering. And I was incredulous. Really, Lord, are you really saying that? I give the $30 that he has. You're not even asking me to double. You're asking me to triple it plus 10. But I did. And I will tell you, God is such a great God. You see, he's already given you the power to create wealth. When God tells you to do something, it's because he already has something released to you in the atmosphere that he needs you to bring into the natural realm by your faith, because faith without works is dead. To make a long story short, God over doubled my profit, which means he had to over almost triple my revenue, because he over doubled my profit last year. And I ended up, you know, giving quite a few thousands of dollars, well over 10 grand to my church last year. Okay? Then this year, God told me to double your offering to $200. So when I'm at church on Sundays, I give $200. But I was like, Lord, really, God? Then it hit me. Wait a minute. This is the same God who told me last year to give $100 a Sunday, and there was never a Sunday I didn't have it. And not only was there not ever a Sunday I didn't have it, I did very, very well last year, was able to really establish some very great savings in the bank to be begin to really focus more on retirement and CDs, pay down some debts. So, okay, I get it. So I tithe usually once or twice a month, but usually once. So in February, the fourth Sunday, you know I tithe, gave my tithe. Then, and it's not always the fourth, but stay with me. In February of this year, I gave my tithe on the fourth Sunday. I say that because last Sunday, I tithe. So that was just 4 weeks in between. From the time I tithe at the end of February, and I don't inflate my tithe, I don't embellish, I give exactly 10%. So when I paid tithe this past Sunday, my tithe was over $3,000. Tithe, did you hear me? So for my tithe to be over $3,000,